Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Yeah, it was a three-point fest last night. Cabarrot. Who? Cabarrot was
on TLC, man. That's what we call him.
Yeah, that's what they called him in Brooklyn, apparently. I'll say this, Mike. Anybody that can help us win, I'm all for it. I had no expectations whatsoever. He's been in the rotation, you know, due to the injuries, and now we've got more injuries to worry about. But with Solomon and his hammy and all that stuff. But the fact is, he was shooting lights out last night, and the Hawks were hitting the open shots when the ball was rotated and they moved the ball. They were hitting the open shots. If they do that, they're going to be fine, man. And Trey's having a hell of a year already.
I mean, the milestones are crazy as far as, you know, the 30 games and 30 point games and 10 assists moving up the all-time list. And then, of course, last night, to your point, 75 points out of 121 from three-point arc, 51%, 25 threes. I mean, it was great. I mean, it was fun to watch. Everything dropped. And, you know, mentioned this earlier. I heard Andy talk about it on the midday show. Gallinari, when he's on his game, that does help. And when we've been losing games, it's when Gallinari kind of like is just a dude. He's not really doing anything on both ends. Gallinari went for 20 last night. And look, let's hope that we get some momentum here, because, you know, big losing streak, big winning streak, and then some ugly losses last week. I'm hoping we can get back on this thing. It won't be any easier, though. With Brooklyn, they lead the East, and that's up next.
Yeah, they get a few days off as far as, you know, the next game is not until Friday. But last night was an impressive one. Minnesota concerned me because I've been watching a little bit of Ant-Man and wanting to see how he's developing, and they've been playing a lot better defense. Last night they were sloppy, and we got a lot of easy turnovers and then easy buckets, so it was a good win. Any win on the road is good, man, especially after falling over the weekend the way we did. Should have beat the Sixers and certainly should have beat Charlotte, but it didn't happen that way.
Yeah, and I hate losing to Charlotte. That was a sap lineup that Charlotte had out there. And
Bridges!
We were banged up, too, making that chump look like a rock star. But, yeah, the good news is long season, but all the things that you and I talked about back in October, hey, we're going to have everybody healthy. So we're just going to have to grind and hope the other guys step up. One thing for sure, Nate's probably not going to be playing the rookies anytime soon, but the other guys are getting some minutes.
All right, guys, love to hear from you. Follow us on social media. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, the radio show. Dukes and Bell, 929, and follow this radio station at 929 The Game. Poll question has been up today, and it's been very interesting. Do you believe UGA is built to win if they are trailing in a big game? Your answers, yes, 100%. I'm all in. No, don't have the stars. Or only if JT's a quarterback. You can write in something, and a lot of people responded today, and just some of the answers, guys, that are coming in. Some guy, I think it was Brock earlier, said, with the right coach. Now you're questioning Kirby and not the players or the calls on the field? You're questioning the head coach? Sean said, I need a fourth option. I sure hope not, meaning I hope we're not having to have this conversation that the dogs are ahead and we're not having to worry about this. That's been part of the problem, Mike. We've been spoiled all year with this team. Right.
Yeah, I mean, but this goes back to, you know, what exactly is, you know, Georgia? Is it, you know, obviously they were battle tested. Alabama was, you know, they did lose a game to A&M, and they've had all these games that, you know, they had to go four quarters. And it's one of the things we did talk about it. We didn't believe it was going to be an issue, the fact that Georgia hadn't been pressed. And then, you know, Alabama, look, they're still the defending champions. They're still, they got all the stuff we know. They got the special sauce. They had a better game plan, and they executed it. So if Georgia were somehow taking Alabama lightly, I can't even imagine how that would be possible. That's why we've been saying, look, again, no one, just for the fifth time, no one's saying to fire Kirby, but Kirby has got all the resources, Carl. I argue with like Georgia fans, I said, look what Alabama spends, look what Clemson, all the elite schools spend. Kirby's got everything. He's got everything that Mark Richt never had, the facilities, the money. He's got all the assistant coaches. I mean, Muschamp's there. You know, what are we doing here? How do you not see this coming? That's what drives me crazy. And then not being able to pivot when you notice things are not working, specifically on the defensive side, before we even get to the quarterback issue.
You know, part of being a head coach, Mike, is not just the weekly pressers. It's the in-game adjustments.
Exactly.
So That's part of this discussion. And I think for those people who are giving Kirby a pass on that part of it, you can't. You just don't go into a game and go, all right, well, if it's not working, we just keep doing it. Part of the in-game discussion and adjustments has to happen as you come back out, whether it's a quarter, whether it's a series. And listen, I think he's done a really good job of those things. But in these big games, the biggest games of the year, from 17 to 18 to 2020 to Saturday, L's, and for various reasons. So you can say what you want, but it's got to fall on somebody's shoulders. Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell. Let's get to the top three.
It's time for the top three at six.
Top three at six.
Now let's see what we have here.
All right, let's start with Nate McMillan because Hawks win, and that was good news. I mean, the Falcons are off. We'll have Coach on tomorrow, guys. 5 o'clock, Arthur Smith will join us. And we have questions, and I know he will have answers for us coming off of the loss on Sunday against the Bucks. But we got to turn the page and see what they can do against Carolina. But I think this is a weekend where you go, okay, if you can't find a way to win, and you're looking at the standings, and we keep talking about how they're in or potentially in the hunt, that conversation is going to change. Let's hear from Coach Nate.
But offensively, had good ball movement throughout the game, 31 assists tonight. Our shots was falling. You know, with that ball movement, we built a rhythm and was able to knock down our shots early.
Yeah, it was a good night, man. And balanced scoring. John Collins, by the way, Mike, let's give John some props. He's playing really well, too, man.
Yeah, and it's funny the comments that came out, I guess, about 2 or 3 weeks ago that, you know, yeah, why don't they ever, you know, draw up plays for John Collins? And it's like actually a testament to his game that they don't do that. And you and I, the debate, we joked around with him when we had him on the show earlier this fall. Hey, man, you know, can you create your own shot? Yeah, he's doing that. He's also doing stuff on the defensive end. Again, a more quiet effort behind the scenes last night against Minnesota, but he's been solid. Capella's a guy I've talked about. I know he's never going to be one of those, like, you know, big bangers at 7'2", but he's effective, Carl, and he's cleaning the glass on both ends.
Yeah, man. So they get a couple of days rest. We'll see Brooklyn on Friday. Meanwhile, as we talk about the Falcons, Marlon Davidson, who had that pick six against Brady. Falcons lost, though. I mean, it was a big play, and I wish we would have won because it would have been part of the narrative. It didn't happen. But he says, listen, facing Cam Newton, it's not going to be easy.
He's a big time player, man. We're playing against with Cam Newton, coming from Auburn. Running quarterback, you know, everybody hates a running quarterback. And, I mean, just playing against Carolina again, man, I got a bad taste in my mouth. You know what I mean? So it's work week.
It's a work week. Let's hope this work is put in. Let's hope that Cam makes the mistakes that he's been making, because that's the thing. Cam can play bad, Mike. This has been his thing over the last few years, right? He plays bad for a couple of games. You go, man, he looks terrible. And then he comes out and plays well and has a good game. And you go, man, where did that come from? So yeah, I hope that's not the case on Sunday.
I don't know what. I don't know where they're going to go, especially now the turnover at the OC. And I mean, we know what we've seen him at his best and his worst in the last 2 years. And I just hope that this team believes what Arthur is selling, that we are still alive. But again, this is a crucial game. This is a game. I don't want to be sitting there, you know, oh, the season's on the line. But again, who's going to believe the Falcons have a shot if you lose this game to Carolina? Had the numbers today. Stats came out. Posted at Mike Bell ATL. Matt Ryan has been hit more than any other quarterback through the first 13 weeks of the season. Tom Brady, not surprising, has been hit the least. Kyler Murray has missed some games, Carl, but he's also the second. And then you got Stafford with the Rams, guys that they're protected. Guys who aren't getting protected, Wentz, that's a cold situation. Lamar Jackson, who kind of runs into some of those sacks. Russell Wilson when he wasn't hurt. But then Matt Ryan, hands down, 92 times. Those are the hits that Matt Ryan has suffered. And another stat for you, while I'm giving you some numbers, 1,000-yard season, the Falcons posted this last hour, for our man Cordero Patterson. 1,000 yards from scrimmage. If I had told you, Carl, back in April on the 15th when we signed him, that he would be our team's MVP, your thoughts?
I would have said no way. I would have right. told you. I would have told you Calvin Ridley, not knowing exactly what was going to play out. I would have told you Calvin Ridley. But, man, CP's been unbelievable, and I have nothing but love for him. I hope they find a way to hold on to him. But here's the deal. He needs help. Matt needs help. We need some more weapons out there. And if you bring him back, Mike, you know, and you put some more help around him and you utilize him the way that Arthur Smith has, all of a sudden we might be on to something. But he's doing everything he can, man. I'm screaming at him on Sunday. I need two from you, CP! Two touchdowns. He just was like, whatever, dude.
Mike Davis actually was pretty solid for us, too. We talked about a great run and catch. He got in the end zone. You know, it would be nice if we could see Davis kind of step it up. He's also up there for the Walter Payton Man of the Year. That announcement came today. But seriously, it's the trenches. We talked to Steve Weiss last hour. We just gave you the numbers about Matt getting hit. We didn't get Brady on the ground. We don't pressure the quarterback. We don't protect the quarterback. With the exception of 2016, that's basically been the MO. And I'd be really curious to see how Fontenot is going to handle this in the offseason. Are we going to invest in that in free agency? That gobbles up cap space immediately, Carl, if you do that for linemen. So how are we going to address this situation in the offseason?
And here's what's funny. And I know we're a long way from the draft, so you know this probably won't stick. But if you feel like your highest priority is defense, then just use your picks on defense. Dallas did it. Why not? If you feel like, you know what, we just don't have enough playmakers, I'm going to draft five or six guys and we're going defense, so be it. There's nothing, there's no rule book that says, okay, drafted an offensive guard, now I have to go safety. Oh, guess what? Now I have to go running back. There's no book that says that. If you feel like this is the most important thing and we got to get better, invest that capital in defense and go draft five or six guys, Mike, and the hell with it. That's the way I feel
again,
right now.
I mean, and Matt's, we don't know what they're going to do in the draft. I mean, unless somebody dazzles them. But again, we got a long way to go. We got a season to play, but we're just talking about because the glaring deficiencies with, you know, protecting the quarterback, whether its name is Matt Ryan or whoever, it's just something they've got to get right.
Well, then go do it on offense. I don't care. Pick the side of the ball that you feel like that is the most important and go do that.
I got to be honest with you. You need to – this is a year where you need like 18 draft picks, okay, because we're coming off one of the worst years as far as cap space. We had to address a lot of needs with journeymen, and that's why we're in the situation we're in. But when you look at it, Carl, we get zero – we're the worst team to protect the quarterback and the worst team to get the quarterback on the ground. So you might need some extra picks to make this work.
Here's what's crazy about that. One, two, 3 years ago, when we drafted Lindstrom, Matt was the most hit quarterback in the NFL. 114 hits. And we all said, oh, you know what? Well, we got to protect. And they invested in the offensive line. And now you're telling me 3 years, you fast forward, and we are still in that same predicament?
Yeah, because Dimitrov doesn't know what he's doing, and we all knew that. I mean, look, I like Lindstrom. I mean, Lindstrom all of a sudden this year, remember, we kind of gave him a pass.
I'm just using him as an example.
But no, McGarry struggled. Jake Matthews has struggled. Remember, guys were saying, well, Jake Matthews is quietly having a Pro Bowl year. No, he's not. No, he's not. Stop it. Please. And again, false start, false start. Get out of here with this crap. The center position, I mean, I guess it's the audition continues between Hennessy and Dahlman, and we'll see where the coaching staff looks at it, you know, through the second half of the final quarter of the season into next year.
Well, but that's what I'm saying, Mike. It wasn't just Lindstrom. It was McGarry and all these guys that we invested in, even the guys from last year you just mentioned.
And Mayfield, as we said a million times, I mean, we can complain about him, but he's out there because there's no other option.
Hey, last night it was a crazy, wacky game in Buffalo. But it was more about the Bills after the game because Sean McDermott wasn't giving any love to Belichick.
Yeah, it's not. Let's not give more credit than we need to give credit to Bill Belichick in this one. It was, whether it's Bill or anybody else, they beat us, right? But you sit here and you tell me when we start with the average starting field position at the 40-yard line and he starts with the 23-yard line, and I'm rounding up in both cases, and we were 1-for-4 in the red zone and they were 0-for-1 in the red zone. You give me that ahead of time, I'm saying I like my chances. So it's not, I don't think, with all due respect, it's not a Bill Belichick type thing.
Okay.
He also had some pointed questions and comments about his offense. I mentioned that to you earlier, where he kind of threw Brian Daboll under the bus, saying that he expected more. We didn't take advantage of opportunities tonight. Steve Weiss talked about they had some dumb penalties, but they also have some strange personnel groupings. And I don't know. I mean, McDermott was one unhappy camper last night after the game.
Hey, man, we got more to get to. Most important story of the day brought to you by our friends, the Buckhead Life Restaurant Group. It's coming up.
The most important story of the day.
All right, it's Dukes and Bell. We've been talking about the Dogs all day, and rightfully so. And when it comes to Kirby Smart, by the way, a most important story of the day brought to you by our friends at Buckhead Life Restaurant Group. The holiday season, guys, get the gift that keeps giving with a 20% holiday bonus added to all gift purchases. That's gift card purchases. Visit buckheadrestaurants.com. Purchase today. When it comes to Kirby, Mike was saying earlier today, he was having this conversation with people about trusting Kirby in these big games. And my thing on this is I do think, all right, I want to be clear as far as Georgia and having the right guy and getting the right guy. Kirby's been the right guy. He's done a hell of a job. But you got to win these games. You've got to find a way to win these games. And I'm not saying he doesn't want to. I'm not saying the kids didn't want to. Everybody knows what was at stake. But now you move on, and now we get another shot in the national semifinal game against Michigan. I am not going to tell you Michigan won't be in this game, or I'm not going to disrespect Michigan and say they can't do anything against Georgia. I'm going to wait to see how that plays. Now, Mike has a little bit more confidence than I do. But, Mike, this is where we're at with Kirby, and I'm curious, as our listeners have been chiming in all day, about are you waning a little bit? Because now you've got a sample space, Mike, over the last 5 years to say, hey, in these games, this is kind of what's happened. Either it's a mismanagement situation or a player is not used the way they should be. Are you waning a little bit that these games get away from our coach?
Well, I mean, it goes into the preparation. I mean, as you said, I mean, you're paid. These guys aren't doing this for free, man. You know, and it's funny because just, what, about a week ago, you and I were having a conversation. Well, after Kirby knocks off Bama, gets his natty, he's going to be over $10 million, right?
Well, and he still might, by the way.
And there's nothing that he says he can't. But right. It's just you got to be better than what you did against Alabama. That's why, guys, I'm trying to keep it in perspective for guys who feel we're bullying Kirby. It's you went into a match, as you said. Mike Tyson always said until you get hit in the face, you know, yada yada. Everyone's got a plan. Your plan went out the window in the second quarter. How do you counterpunch? You had nothing. There was no counterpunch. You know, and then the big picture. I mean, the game management is sort of the micro, but the macro is the quarterback overall situation and how it's manifested when we thought we were out of the woods on this one, and then it crops right back up because he can't play from behind Stetson Bennett. But that goes back to Kirby. So, I mean, how are these decisions being made? I guess that's the question a lot of Georgia fans are asking.
Well, listen, I don't think Kirby goes into his meeting rooms with his assistants or either at home contemplating what's the best thing for his team. That can be a week-to-week thing. That can be a game-to-game kind of thing. And that's fine. But I don't think he's in that state of mind where he's, you know, sabotaging himself. But I also think, Mike, it takes courage sometimes to make these kind of moves in the game. And if they backfire, so be it. But, you know, I always say this. I got to win my way. I'd rather go out on my sword than to say, well, I wish I would have done that. And I wonder, this is what I wonder. I wonder if Kirby in the back of his mind says, I wish I would have did this, this, and this. I wish I would have put JT in. I wish I would have brought more pressure in the second half. Now, he's going to get a chance to maybe redeem himself. That's what I'm saying. You got two more games potentially. Mm-hmm. If you move on, you can do all of that. And again, maybe in January we're talking about this from a different state of mind. But right now, I am not going to fool myself into buying that the dogs were, well, you know, it was just a bad game. Oh, well, the guys weren't ready. Oh, well, you know, the moment was big. I'm not going to buy into any of that. You got outplayed, you got beat. Now, what do you do from a coaching standpoint to make sure that your team that's loaded doesn't fall into that situation again?
And that's why I'm with you on. That's why I was ranting earlier in the show. It's like, how are you not up for the one team that's in the way, the one team that's constantly your nemesis that keeps you from getting to where you want to go? Because everything else, you know, every photo you see, another photo today of Kirby on the recruiting trail, and hey, look, no one does it any better than he is right now. But, I mean, it has to culminate with a national championship. And the idea that, well, it's six seasons. And no, it's time. It's time. That's what, you know, that was our mantra all last week and all during the season. If not now, when? Because, you know, Alabama, and this is funny, Alabama, yeah, it's a bad Alabama team. No, it's a bad Alabama team by Nick Saban standards. But it's still one of the best teams in the country that is clutch and does all the right things, and they did. So you will probably see them again. I think they're going to beat Cincinnati. I don't believe that Michigan can beat Georgia. I'm not, by the way, don't get this twisted. I don't think it's going to be a blowout or anything. I think it's going to be a close game because they're going to run the football. I just don't think their quarterback, just like we talked about Bennett, I don't think McNamara can beat Georgia with his arm. But, I mean, but if you lose to Michigan, what the then what? What happens if you lose that Michigan game, brother?
There is no what. You lost, and you were not as good as advertised. You were not as good as we thought you were, and it's back to the drawing board in a year where it was supposed to be your year. That's it. And I'm not going to make excuses. I'm not going to sit here and quabble about, you know, what Kirby is and what he isn't. He's paid to win national championships. This was a year in which your team is good enough to do it, and maybe they still do. But I'm just going to throw out all the things I know because, Mike, to be honest with you, they don't matter in these national championship games. You give any coach worth his salt 3 weeks to get ready,
right.
Michigan's going to be ready. I know Jim Harbaugh's caught a lot of crap, okay, over the years. He's a damn good coach. They're going to be ready. Now, I can't tell you that Georgia blows them out. I'd love to see that because then I'd be relaxed. Okay, whoo. All right, now I feel a lot better about what I'm seeing. But I can't say that. I'm not going to do it right now. And I won't do it in a week, and I won't do it in 2 weeks.
Right. Now, the good news is the receivers will be healthier, presumably. You know, Pickens, Kyrus Jackson, those guys. And
you know, see, that's the part that you keep leaving out about this Michigan game. Where's the separation outside, Mike? Where are the guys that are going to do that?
Well, those guys I just mentioned, they're going to be healthier, presumably. I mean, you got a tight end who's one of the best in the country that creates matchup issues. I mean, but it's got to be complemented, to your point earlier, by the wide receivers to get the most out of it. But you've also got to have a delivery system that's reliable, you know. And if you get in a situation where it's hard to envision a shootout. Although Michigan has scored a lot of points the last couple of games, scored a lot of points to beat Ohio State. They ran the ball almost exclusively, put 42 up on Iowa. So that's a team that, as much as I'm crapping on McNamara, because I don't believe he's going to be an NFL guy. He's just a guy. But you still have got to have a way to score points. And can Stetson Bennett, to your point earlier, if you're down or it's a shootout, can he do that? Can he deliver the goods?
404-741-0929. Text us, guys. We're going to get to our game winner here in just a little bit. You can find us on social media as well. Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes, the radio show. Dukes and Bell, 929. And, of course, this radio station, 929 The Game. We'd love to hear from you and love to know what you're thinking, because here's the deal. We're going to talk about this for the next few weeks. We're going to go through the holidays, and then we're going to get to the end of the year. And then they're going to have to go prove it again, because for whatever you thought Georgia was, and if you go, well, they still are. We're okay. We just had a bad game, and we're able to rebound. Okay, let me see. That's where I'm at.
Kyrus Jackson, by the way, one reception for 4 yards.
Where's the separation?
Well, I'm just looking at these dudes.
I've seen this, that this has been my issue. Vertically down the field, big plays. Think about Bama. Think about what we did. Now, again, when Bowers got his 10 catches, a lot of that was moving the ball, moving the chains. He did have the one play in the middle of the field, but we didn't go over the top 50 yards down the field of Bowers.
Bowers had over 130, 10 yards. I mean, look, they Stetson Bennett, at the end of the day, could not make the plays as you were trying to fight back in this game. But you already dug too big a hole because your coaching staff had no answer for what Alabama was going to do. These two go, to me, part and parcel. They're together. So what is going to change between now and the Michigan guys? We just started this conversation. I mean, I don't know. Maybe Todd Monken and Dan Lanning aren't everything they're cracked up to be. I don't know. I mean, we just talked about all the money, the resources, everybody else. Is there just more brain power on Saban's side? I mean, because if you talk to some Georgia fans, Saban is the greatest thing to ever dress out. So how the hell did Dabo Sweeney do it? Oh, I know. He had better quarterback play. You know, how did Ed Orgeron do it? Better quarterback play. Georgia doesn't want to get in that mix. I mean, maybe Brock Vandegrift will go in the transfer portal. I don't know. Everybody's assuming that, you know, oh, Kirby will never get. Kirby gets these guys. They just don't know what to do with them when they have them in Athens. That's the problem.
404-741-0929. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Text us. Tell us what you think. This is where we're at. I am not losing confidence in Kirby as a head coach, but I am questioning in the games that matter. I'm not talking about Missouri. Okay? I'm not talking about Tennessee. The game, this game that matters on December 31st, the game that mattered on Saturday night in an SEC championship, you know, potentially putting another trophy in the case. The one that matters, putting a ring on your finger. Those games, I'm going, what are we doing? Well, when are we going to get it right? And if you're not wondering the same thing, I don't know what you're watching.
Well, this is the argument that I've been getting into on Twitter and with people about, you know, that are Georgia fans and they're, you know, you lay off Kirby. Well, I mean, well, if am I losing my mind here when I hear Kirby and other players all echoing, it's a good wake up call for us. What? It's the SEC championship. You know, it's, do you want to play Alabama again? Because congratulations, you just won that prize. You know, and again, not having Metchie is going to be huge for that. I mean, but as you said, they just seem to find a way. They found a way on the offensive line, didn't Alabama this year?
Well, you know, we talked all about Minshew going into the game, but as we talked about, you know, I think it was at 5:20 today, you know, with the all SEC selections, it wasn't Minshew. It was the other guy that killed us. It was Williams. So, you know, that's what's crazy, Mike. Yeah, I think Minshew's a talented player, but he wasn't the guy that had the two big long touchdowns over the top. So,
but he's able to move the chain. So, but I mean, there were mismatches. Both guys, I mean, had a good day, but obviously Jameson Williams had the better day.
He did, but he makes them better. I don't want to misrepresent that. He makes them better. but he's not a first-team all-SEC guy. The other guy is. The other guy that really, I don't know if anybody was talking about him as much except for Alabama fans.
I just think that they've got guys that step in anytime they have an injury. And then we've been always coached and taught that. And by the way, Mechie was just under a C note, 97 yards with a touchdown.
Before the injury, right?
Yeah, 40 yards before the knee. Again, it's a big hit for them. But it just boggles the mind when you know, you see. I mean, you know, this is the argument you and I always have. We joke around like, you know, well, you guys are so smart. Why don't you coach? Well, yeah, I mean, we're sitting on your couch or I'm sitting in Mercedes-Benz. Everybody can see from a mile away except for the people on the sideline. That's what freaks me out about how the dynamic of this game in the second quarter got away from Georgia and they had no answer.
All right, guys, let's get to tonight's game winner, Mike.
Hey, man, you were talking earlier about the Buffalo game last night. I mean, it was brutal. Wind chills down there in the 20s. I mean, the wind was whipping 50 miles an hour. Carl asked me, what was the coldest game you ever been to? Yours was at Lambeau, right?
Yeah, one time.
Which got me to, I guess, one of the Army-Navy games when I was probably about 10, probably 78 or 79. My dad and I would go to Philly, the old JFK Stadium, Carl. That's where they had Live Aid, big horseshoe-shaped stadium. The wind would come whipping in right up on Broad Street. And that's the first time my dad gave me a sip of booze. He had the binocular flask. He goes, hey, this will warm up your fingers and toes. So I'm like, drinking Southern Comfort at age 10. Father of the year. Question for tonight's game winner, Carl. When is the first time your lips touched alcohol? Your first, wow. Was it for your dad? Yeah, you want to have a sip of beer sometimes. It's your grandfather or the uncle that the mama doesn't want you around at Christmas. 404-741-0929. Can you remember the first time you had some booze?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And the winner is...
Time to take the game winner on Dukes and Bell. Your last chance to sound off on today's show. So don't stink. Call now, 404-741-0929. Today's question...
All right, Carl, we were talking about cold weather, and it got us on the subject of the old myth, or maybe not a myth, that alcohol will warm you up, warm the cockles of your whatever. So I looked it up during the commercial break, and, you know, it's amazing the data that's out there. I was the Army-Navy game in 1978, and Navy smoked Army. I think they shut them out. So I looked it up. They call it, Carl, the brutal winter of 1978-1979. So a lot of snow. There was a nor'easter that weekend, so that would explain why my father would serve a 10-year-old Southern Comfort from the binocular.
Just hey, man, whatever it takes to get warmed up.
I mean, my dad, God bless him, he's up in heaven now, would kill Hodges, but I don't think he was the worst father out there. There was a reason, you know, it'd warm you up.
Yeah, I think, and I want to say I was either 13, 14, somewhere around there, when my dad, I saw him having a whiskey, and I was like, what is that? Let me have some. I want to try it. And he was like, oh, really? And I think that was around the first time that I tried it. But he was like, you can try it with me. I don't want you drinking it out anywhere else. And I literally tried it, Mike, and was like, oh, it was like burned going down. I was, it's disgusting. And at that point, I was like, I'll never drink again. Well, I lied.
Yeah, it's like the first time you taste beer. Not many people enjoy that taste the first time you throw it down as a kid. But then later, things change. All right, man, let's see what you guys can remember. 404-741-0929. The first time you had booze was when, sir? Hey, man.
Hey, man.
How you doing, brah?
Oh, okay. Got no clue that I was on the call. Man, this guy might be drunk now. So listen, I was about 10 or 11, and my dad used to always have a drink with pizza night. And I didn't know what that drink was, you know, because he never showed us what it was.
Right.
And so when I started enjoying pizza, I wanted what he had, too. He's like, you sure? He's like, all right. And he gave me a sip, and it was the nastiest thing I'd ever tasted. It was beer. I don't know if it was Bud Light or what, but
right.
I overcame that.
I was going to say, we usually do, but that's funny, man. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like the cigarette thing. You know, your dad catches you with your smokes. He's like, well, you're going to smoke this whole pack. And I think I freaked my dad out. I'm like, I can do that. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for us, man? Your first booze experience.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
I was kind of a late bloomer. So all I'm going to say is I was in college. There was six of us. And the alcohol that we all was drinking was diesel, the hard stuff. And the next day, I can say it was like an episode of Family Guy. We was all talking about the nasty experience we had all last night by the toilet.
Exactly, man. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. Your first time boozing. Was it involving parental supervision or not? You're on the air, buddy. What you got?
First time I ever got drunk was drinking real watermelon wine. Made me sicker than Georgia Bulldogs, not putting JT Daniels in on fourth quarter. Thank you, sir.
There's Jeremiah from somewhere in his compound, we believe near Villa Rica, somewhere. Yeah, man. Yeah, by the way, a couple of guys hit me up on the Twitter or on the DM and stuff. But I guess I could look it up on Amazon if they still sell the binocular flask, because that was my dad's go-to, you know, back in the day. That was a good item to have.
And here's the thing, if you don't get that, because now we're so cell phone
$19 on Amazon, Carl.
Well, here's the thing, though, and who brings binoculars to games anymore? That's
so you're saying that would be the red flag for security?
Well, no, actually, it's funny, Mike. I saw a guy, I don't know where I was, the last game I went to, and I saw a guy with binoculars, and I thought, okay, he must be sitting up top or something, but I hadn't seen that in a very long time. Maybe a lot of people still do it, but yeah, it was so common back then, I think that nobody thought about it.
No, man, I think the last time I took binoculars, I think it's for motorsports. You know, I was at Indy 500 looking down on pit road, but you're right, you just don't see dudes wearing binocs anymore, which may be why the binocular flask is not a big seller on Amazon. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. First time you had some booze.
Hey, man. Hey, so long story short, me and my pops used to watch the Braves game when they were god-awful in the mid-80s. So he used to give me these Budweiser ponies, the little shorter version of the bigger bottle. And, man, he used to go, hey, you're lightweight. And I was like, yeah, I only weigh 70 pounds.
Father of the Year material. Remember the Bud Bowl, Carl? They'd have the quartz for the offensive linemen, and the ponies were like the wide receivers.
The smaller ones.
Yeah, that's a good pull right there, man. Ah, memories. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. Your first experience with alcohol.
Hey, man. It was I was about 11 years old, and a screenwriter friend of my father's was over for dinner one Sunday, and he always had this stuff in a snifter. And I said, can I taste that? And it was some Harvey's Bristol Cream Sherry. And I can't touch it till this day. It's very good. It burned my throat, but that was my very first. I about puked.
Harvey's Bristol Cream. My grandmother drank that. My English grandmother had that around the house, man. By the way, you ever, I don't think I asked you this question before, Carl. Have you ever raided your dad's liquor cabinet and then poured iced tea into one of his bourbon bottles?
We tried to get away with that. I tried to get away with that one time. Obviously, if your father, like my dad, drank regularly, he was like, somebody's been in my cabinet.
I think it was a bottle of Seagram's, and we poured like iced tea back in it. Oh my God, the beating I caught. My dad, I got about a half a block head start, and he caught me right in front of the bailiff's house. And it was like when the leopard tracks down like the gazelle on the Serengeti. Because my old man was tall, Carl. He took long strides. So he caught up and like, and then he got me. And oh man, and my dad yells over Mr. Bailiff. He was in my liquor cabinet.
My dad's
justifying this beatdown. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. First time you got some booze in you. What you got?
Hey, man. All right, so back around 94 when I was 14, me and three of my classmates had a summer job at our high school. So one day after work, one of my classmates decided he wanted to do a five-finger discount at the store on a six-pack of Budweiser. So imagine a 150-pound dude walking out of the store with a six-pack of Budweiser, 16-ounce, in his wind pants, So I had to let him know, hey, give me the one that hadn't been parallel parked beside your Johnson, please.
Yes, I like the one that's not as warm, sir. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for us?
Hey, man.
Hey, hey man.
I was 13. My mom, 4th of July, she's drinking Genesee Cream Ale. I asked her if I could have one. She said, yeah. After I finished that one, I reached for another one. And I heard my dad say, go ahead, love. Have all you want. And it felt like somebody dropped me off a building on my head the next morning.
Jenny Cream Ale from the Geneseo River, Carl, in upstate New York. Wide mouth bottles. I will say this. If you ever went on a ski trip in the Northeast, the bottles were perfect, Carl, for, well, pee breaks where you didn't have to pull the car over because you got the wide neck.
Oh, so you could just put it in there?
Yeah, you just go ahead, right there. Yeah, yeah, do your thing. I mean, that's what I remember Jenny Cream Ale for. More than that, than the actual the drinking of. Hey, man, you're on the air, Montfrere. What do you got for us?
Hey there, Carl. Coach Margreek here. The first time I had my first drink is when I lost my first SEC championship game to Nick Saban, and I had me a little Mary Jane.
Yeah. Visited with it. So please, son. Mark was actually, he got after it. That's why, you know, Mark Ricks talked about it, turning his life over to Jesus and all that. But Carl, he used to get after it with Jim Kelly, amongst others, in Miami. That's why his nickname was Mark Boca Rick. That great picture of Mark's, I guess, his senior picture with the Puka beans. He looks like a poor man Spicoli.
You know what, Mike? Let's just say I think he got it in. Let's just say
I think he did. Hey, man, you're on the radio, buddy boy. The first time you sampled some booze.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Yeah, my first time was the youngest of four boys, and they couldn't go nowhere unless I go with them. So the second oldest, he knew a bouncer at a strip club. They put a hat on my head and took me in, and they said that I had to have a drink. So I didn't really enjoy it too much.
Yeah. It's usually how it is, man. I mean, honestly, and that's why that first drink, it's so funny. Right. If you go on to enjoy a casual beverage here and there, and you think back to that first time you tasted whatever it was, you go, how did I die? Oh, what was I thinking? But, you know, you get that acquired taste, Mike. You're right about beer, man. I was not a beer guy. Like in high school, all the guys used to drink beer, and it was not like I didn't dig it. And then that acquired taste came along, and I remember, you know, like most guys, I think I drank more beer in college than, you know, I kept companies in business. Well, it was unbelievable.
Right on. Hey, man, good stuff today. Ah, memories. No, it's like we've talked about that before. The first time your like fake ID worked and you're at a bar, and I remember I couldn't believe I got in. The bartender's like, we're at the Lemon Tree in Brooklyn or at Queens. The bartender's like, what are you drinking? I'm like, shoot, like, what does Dad have? I'm like, and I'm like, I even talked with my dad's voice, because I was like, 7 and 7. You know, I was trying to sound like an adult.
Yeah. Hey, man. By the way, tonight's show is protected by Mimecast. Make sure you get Mimecast. And we're talking about phishing, business email compromise, anything, guys, when it comes to your company, they can take care of it. And especially when it comes to protecting your business. Hey, our Mimecast tweet and text of the day has to do with our poll question in regards to how much do you believe that the Dogs are built to come back if they are in fact going to be down in another game, potentially the semifinal game or the national championship game? And a lot of people chiming in, but I thought this one was interesting, and saying, guys, it's this simple. Kirby needs to make the adjustments that he needs to make, whether it's quarterback, defensively, more blitzes, coverages, etc. If he doesn't, he is going to be the guy everybody's talking about all offseason because he's got the talent. Appreciate the text. Appreciate the that's Zane, by the way. Appreciate the tweet and the text, Mike. Hey, guys, let's get out of here and clear our throats.
Dukes and Bell are wrapping up another show, so it's time for
Let Me Clear My Throat
on Sports Radio 92.9. The Game.
Hey, tomorrow, by the way, Connor Riley, Arthur Smith, coach of our Atlanta Falcons. Wes Durham's going to join us. We're also chasing a couple of other guests as well. Make sure you are here in regards to college football as we get ready for the national semifinal game with the Dogs in Michigan. The next few weeks will be crazy. I know it's the holidays, but guys, the show goes on, and we'll be all over it. Hey, man, Chris, great job behind the glass. Turtle, enjoy your time off. Bo Morgan, executive producing. Mike Bell, let's get out of here, man, and clear your throat.
Well, we've been doing a lot of interactions with Georgia Bulldog fans here on our Twitter and social media. And pretty funny, Dan Wolkin tweeted this out. It was somebody on Dogs 24/7 on the chat room. And we all know, Carl, these message boards is where the real crazies go
no
to roost. Well, here's the great theory posted 13 hours ago by Quantum Supremacy. SEC wanted two teams in the playoffs. We, meaning Georgia, we were required to play down, so we played generic defense at critical times. This was supported by NCAA and everyone else because the playoff picture was looking so dismal. I mean, good grief, since he got in, imagine how bad it would have been had we beaten Alabama. Kirby and UGA are good corporate citizens and fell in line for the sake of the game. I don't know if this guy's being tongue-in-cheek, but man, that's hysterical.
It is really funny. Hey, I want to give a big shout out to Brandon, man. Brandon is a huge listener and avid fan of our radio station, and he just had his daughter KJ. She was born a week ago, and it's their first child, man. So Brandon,
hey,
big shout out. Happy times, man, and congratulations to you and your lovely wife. And KJ, welcome to the world. Brandon, thanks for listening. Hey, man, if you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't,
well, you don't get a nice little vial of Game 4 World Series dirt, my friend.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.